We've been looking for crime in all the wrong places. Figuratively, it's been right in front of us the whole time. And in reality, it's inside of us. Self-replicating COVID-19 through a synthetic venom that's fueled by an enzyme that lives in the human body. And we'll take a look at detox and finally get the truth out so that you can be a wiser consumer. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Monday, October 31st, 2022. I'm your host, Dr. Jane Ruby. Well, after the wildly popular and incredibly informative interview that I conducted this past Friday with Dr. Brian Artis and his updated evidence, I started looking into some of the information he provided on self-replication. It appears we've been looking for this crime of the COVID-19 hoax and this illness foisted upon humanity in all the wrong places. We've been looking at viruses versus no viruses. We've been looking at individual elements like graphene oxide instead of putting it all together. And when you combine it with Dr. Artis's evidence on synthetic information, along with the technology of self-replication of these materials, in other words, materials that have the capability to build themselves out once they're inside the body, and some of them even outside of the human body, you actually begin to have a pretty big picture of what's happened to all of us in the last 2 years. And if you think that self-replication of organisms like bacteria and synthetic DNA structures, synthetic DNA structures, that's man-made replications of DNA, like synthetic venoms, from not only snakes, but highly toxic animals like Kono snails, and how our government has been working on perfecting these technologies for quite some time, you begin to have a bigger and more plausible story. Let's start by taking a listen to Dr. Baron Gutt, a postdoc PhD from Australia, describe his accomplishments in the field of building nanobots to go into your body for various reasons. This is from one of his recent presentations in Australia. Please roll the video.
Our next contestant is John Baron Gutt, who's going to talk to us about bio-nano-robo-mofos.
There's a bit in the most recent Avengers movie where Robert Downey Jr. is kind of gearing up for battle and taps this panel on his chest. And a billion tiny robots come out and assemble themselves into an Iron Man suit around his body. Now, that's a very Hollywood version of what nanotechnology is. But it might not be as far-fetched as you think. You see, in the last decade or so, we actually have gotten to the stage where we can build nanoscale robots. And we can program these nanobots to do nanoscale things, things like position tiny electrical components, or deliver drugs to cancer cells. That's not science fiction, that's real. The bit that Hollywood got wrong is that we're still struggling to get these nanobots to assemble themselves into larger formations. And that's going to be important if we ever want them to do larger things, things like heal a wound, or unclog an artery, or form into some sort of crime-fighting supersuit. And that's what my research is about, though not the supersuit part, but I've been designing nanobots that do nothing but assemble themselves into very specific formations. Okay, so what are these nanobots and how do we build them? Well, for starters, they're very small. You could fit about 2,000 of them across the thickness of a single hair. And we tend to build them a few hundred billion at a time. Now, that makes it pretty tricky to build them using traditional materials. They don't make screwdrivers that small. So instead, we build them out of biological molecules like DNA. And that's because DNA has those base pairing rules, you know, that make the single strands come together to form that double helix. Well, if we carefully design and code those DNA base pairs in synthetic DNA, we can get them to form much more complex structures like my nanobots here. And we can use those same DNA strands to make the robots move or connect to each other. Now, before we can go ahead and assemble an army of injectable nanosurgeons or a molecular supercomputer, we've got to hit the baby steps first. So here, I've designed my nanobots to assemble into these neat rows. And by tweaking their design, I can make those rows longer or shorter. So you could say my bio-nano robots are modular and can create different formations, hence mofos. Now, I know this may sound like it's all a bit of fun, and to be perfectly honest, it is a lot of fun, but it's also serious, because it's going to be this type of fundamental research into how we organise matter at the nanoscale that's going to lead us to the next generation of nanomaterials and nanomedicines and nanoelectronics. And while we might still be a few years away from the crime-fighting supersuit, this is us making progress a few hundred billion tiny robots at a time. Thank you.
Dr. Berengut has told audiences that, and I quote him, it's this type of fundamental research into how we organize matter at the nano level, the nanoscale, that's going to lead us to the next generation of nanomaterials, nanomedicines, and nanoelectronics. In other words, he's saying it's coming, whether you want it or not. And so in picture one, we see a depiction of self-replicating synthetic DNA. In other words, they've already developed a way to mimic your God-given DNA with a lab-created, I keep using the word synthetic, but just that means man-made, lab-created, these materials into shapes and structures that replicate or resemble physically the natural DNA in your body. So in picture one, you see a depiction, but not far from what they're seeing right at the nano level. This is important in how they stack up. They have recreated, Dr. Berengut says they've recreated the double helix with the four base proteins that in various combinations form your DNA. And then they create tubules. This is just very to me, this is the epitome of scientific arrogance. In picture two, this is more of a cartoon depiction, if you will. After listening to Dr. Berengut and other researchers like him, it's probably not far off and so creepy. Where is the informed consent? Again, like I said, this is like a cartoon. This bot has a little light on it. It's got its little control center on top. Remember, this is at the level of supposedly nano, but it's at scale to a red blood cell, which is actually much larger and can be seen to the naked eye under a microscope. But it gives you an idea, you know, of what they're doing, what they're saying, because they claim it's going to be for benevolent purposes like stopping cancer. I did my recent report as well as a takedown episode on StuPeters.com premium. Also in my own show in the public domain, the story of the founders of BioNTech, that would be Ugur Sahin and his wife, Aslam Tarisi, who claim they're using the mRNA technology as well as other nanoparticle technology to cure, their words, not mine, cancer. So they claim that this is for all for the good, either stopping cancer, curing it, getting rid of it, or for purposes such as repairing the body, you know, as though like your body has no role to play in these processes. I wanted to go over this article we have listed here, where I've labeled it for my producer website number one. It's entitled Cloning Snake Glands. And I want to share some really interesting information, because this website talks about, we can scroll through it a little bit. It talks about self-replicating synthetic bacterial cells. So this is just to give you the sense for when I say that this is not new technology in development. It's been here for quite a while, and now it's being used and right out in, you know, it's hiding in plain sight. And so when you look through this website, for example, they're announcing the first, you know, self-replicating man-made bacterial cells. And those cells have the ability, according to this report, to multiply themselves. Now, bear in mind, as we go through some of this information, that this should trigger you to start tying, you know, connecting dots around maybe the white fibrous clots that are able to multiply themselves within the human body to the point where the person probably drops dead suddenly when they have enough blockage and the body can't overcome it. The body gets overwhelmed. What they basically say here is that genomic science has moved to the point of sequencing, in other words, lining up these man-made replicas of your four base genetic proteins, A, C, T, and G. And if I can kind of remember, you can look these up, but remember from high school biology, adenosine, guanine, I mean, tyrosine, can't remember my C, but anyway, into the chemical makeup of DNAs, right? They're creating them as a man-made material that mimics or is a replica of what occurs in nature, and then arranging them so that they, in theory, will create an action on the human body. So basically what they've said here is they can reverse the process and reassemble so that they basically say here that they can create new compounds or they can replicate existing compounds. After they do that arrangement that they're calling sequencing, the next critical step is to attempt to synthesize the chemical so that then they can demonstrate or get the chemical to then replicate the mechanism of action. In other words, to act like the natural material. And what they're saying here is 2003, look how far back this is, they successfully synthesized a small virus, it's synthetic, that infects bacteria. And by 2008, they were able to synthesize a small bacterial genome. So they've got now a blueprint of a genetic model for this. But they were unable to activate that genome in a living cell at the time. But they have continued. If you scroll down to this first picture, it's the assembly of a synthetic mycoid genome in yeast. Don't forget, yeast is a powerful medium for replication. Remember, Dr. Artis talked about yeast, things that live in the human body, naturally, so to speak, in the natural environment, yeast. We'll talk more in the next segment when we review some of the things he presented. The enzyme, which is phospholipase enzymes called PLAs, as a facilitator, let's call it. Let's call it a facilitator. So these enzymes, the yeast, you can have other mediums, human cells. You see these people here at the J. Craig Venter Institute on this website I'm showing you. They were culturing these things in cells to begin with, right? So I wanted you to see that. That's really important. And they're creating software. Interestingly, they're creating software of life. They use the term that Moderna used. Remember, we're hacking. Remember that? The chief medical officer, Ty Six or something was his name. He basically said, we're hacking we're proudly at Moderna hacking the software of life. Oh, I thought it didn't integrate with your own natural genome, but you're hacking the software of life? What do you think the software of life is, sir? It's your human God-given genetic makeup. And they basically say here that they are the ability rather to routinely write the software of life. They want to this is the God delusion, right? Another God delusion. This propensity, like Harari, to come out and say we're gonna hack the life, we're gonna recreate life, we're gonna recreate it on our terms. This is very dangerous territory. And not only are you not giving consent for this to have it happen inside of your body, but you're not even gonna know if it isn't already there inside of your body. But what they've done is very, you know, it's kind of diabolical and really smart. They're saying, look, we've got facilitators that already exist in the human body. We've got these phospholipases, where if we create the right situation or we get them exposed to just a tiny bit of whatever it is that they're getting inside of people, in the shots, in the environment, in the water, in the air, whatever, we can just let the body take over. And the body will do the dirty work for us. It'll kill some people. It'll damage and maim other people so that they die early. It'll sterilize children. It'll kill some children with heart damage. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's what I mean about looking for crime in all the wrong places. They're using your own body to create the death and destruction. What can I do? Well, stop taking the shots. That's obvious. Keep your body as healthy as you can, because your body is the defense. You don't want your body to be triggered, right? You eat tons of sugar, I'll make a connection for you. That results in overgrowth of yeast in your body, different parts of your body. It could be your throat, could be your GI tract where you don't really see it, could be your vaginal canal. All kinds of places. You could be on your skin. You could have wild yeast overgrowth and symptoms, you know, on your skin. In the folds of your groin, where it's wet and moist, great medium for yeast to overgrow. And then if you're over ingesting sugars, that yeast can just feed. It's like a feast, right? So I wanted you to see that. And then let's take a look at the second website. This is really interesting. The second website is cloning. Oh, this is interesting. Now, it's an older article, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean it. I mean, it shows you it was done such a long time ago. This article is snake venom can now be made in a lab that could save many lives. Oh, it's just meant for such good, right? And so basically what they're showing you here, if you get past the propaganda that this is good for you and you'll take it whether you like it or not, they're saying they're doing it because, you know, every 5 minutes, you know, so many people get bitten by snakes. I mean, yeah, maybe in the Congo, but, you know, not at your local grocery store like Kroger. I mean, this is absurd. So basically what they're saying here is they invent, people say, oh, Dr. Artis, you know, he doesn't know. He's just bringing this misinformation. He doesn't know. You look here and it says this is CNN Health. Okay. But the experts are saying here a decade ago, this guy named Hans Clevers, the principal investigator of the Hubrecht Institute for Developmental Biology and Stem Cell Research in Utrecht, invented a decade ago. I want to call it to your attention. He invented the technique to make human organoids, miniature organs made from stem cells of other humans. And they were able to replicate these organoids and get them to act like human cells. Then he says they assumed the snakes would have stem cells the same way mice and humans have stem cells, but nobody had ever investigated this. And after sourcing some fertilized eggs from a dealer, remember Dr. Artis told us you can buy all this stuff online, you know, like it's hand soap from Amazon. Goes on to say, after sourcing some fertilized snake eggs from a dealer, the researchers found that they were able to take a tiny chunk of snake tissue containing stem cells and nurture it in a dish with the same growth factor they used for human organoids, albeit at lower temperatures, to create the venom glands. And they found that these snake organoids, something Dr. Artis has been talking about for months, tiny balls just 1 millimeter wide, produced the same toxins as the snake venom. How do I get it in my body, Dr. Jane? Your own cells could be programmed or triggered to make it. You see what I'm saying? You're looking for crime in all the wrong places. You're making it inside of your body from many different ways, not just the shots. Not maybe the shots are shedding what's needed to maybe get the rest of us maybe slowly doing this. That's why Dr. Philippe Van Welbergen in the UK has found similar blood damage in his microscopes for people who are not jabbed, but maybe who are in close proximity every day, maybe live with them, maybe work with them. And you see this picture, if we could scroll down on this CNN article, the snake venom gland organoids as seen under a microscope, because when they enlarge themselves enough, these grow. You don't need to be bitten by a snake. So it's not a ridiculous story. So what I'm showing here in this first segment is that we have to start paying attention to the self-replication of organisms, which it happens in bacteria, and synthetic replication of synthetic DNA structures, which are making this venom-like material. This is the fascinating piece of this. This is why it's important. You know, I just want to say a couple of words before we go to my final message and we break to go to the second segment. This is why when people come out of the box and say, oh, you know, somebody like Dr. Artis or this one or Mike Adams or that one, you know, it's immediately dismissed. Oh, snake venom. Oh, yeah, right. Snakes. Okay. There's much more to the story. And this is what the enemy wants you to do. They want you to infight. They want you to challenge each other. Oh, that's BS. That doesn't make sense. Instead of, if you've learned anything from this whole event in the last 2 years, I hope you've learned to take a step. Say, oh, that sounds a little crazy, but you know what? I'm going to stay open. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to look at some of the articles that Dr. Artis brought to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on Friday. I'm going to read through those. I'm going to take a closer look at some of the evidence and the articles that he brought maybe to the 3-hour interview he did several months ago with Mike Adams. And by the way, on Wednesday's Dr. Jane Ruby Show, we have both of these incredible humanitarians, Dr. Artis and Mike Adams, that will be on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show together at the same time. We'll be able to talk to both of them. They will be able to, you know, share with each other, maybe connect some dots that we haven't connected before. So I think it's really important. It'll be an exciting show. And I think, if it's any indication of your level of interest, the show on Friday is now well over 250,000 views worldwide, but it's over 100,000 on Rumble alone. So I call that to your attention. And before we break a little bit here, I just want to add one piece here. I want to make a suggestion to those of you who have $50,000 or more in your retirement savings, your 401k, your IRA, because you could be at risk again for losing your hard-earned savings. Look, we've got more inflation. We're over $30 trillion in debt. It's looking like 2008 all over again. Millions of Americans during that period of time watched their retirement savings disappear, while a very smart, insightful subgroup of people invested in physical gold and silver, and they were protected. Right now, many Americans are using an IRS loophole to add physical gold and silver to their retirement savings. So I want to suggest that you call the folks at Gold Co. at 855-791-2619 to get a free information kit and learn more about how you can protect your savings, how thousands of other people are doing it with gold and silver. And you could even get $10,000 in free silver just for doing it. We could be looking at a recession coming up far worse than what we saw in 2008. So don't wait. Call Gold Co. today at 855-791-2619. That's 855-791-2619. When I return, we're going to see how this self-replicating technology that I've just run through with you is being used to make your body create debilitating illness and death. I'll be right back. Would you like to dramatically improve the quality of your sleep? Would you like to be bulletproof to stress? Well, there's a Black Friday special offer happening, and this could be exactly what you need. 4 out of 5 Americans are magnesium deficient. Serious problem. And taking any supplement won't help because they can be hard to absorb. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only magnesium supplement with 7 forms of magnesium that your body can use. And the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, Bio-Optimizers, are having an incredible Black Friday special from November 21st to the 29th for all of their products, including Magnesium Breakthrough, for a whopping 25% off. So go to biooptimizers.com and use the promo code Ruby to get your discount. So Dr. Artis has pretty much laid out the evidence that COVID-19 illnesses and the supposed variant illnesses are actually self-replicating, self-damaging, and venomation illness. What you've seen in the first segment is evidence that we have scientists around the world that are geniuses, and they're cloning snake glands. This is not news or some conspiracy theory. The snake protein organoids and organisms are synthetic. People say, well, how do I get a real snake? You're not. You're getting barraged with billions and billions of billions across the environment of these synthetic snake protein organoids and organoid products. These are lab-created cells that are genetically designed to do what a snake venom gland does, make more venom. Just for general edification, I wanted to review that there are 3 types of effects known to be inflicted by snake venoms, and they're classified into types: hemotoxic, neurotoxic, and cytotoxic. Hemotoxic is damage to the blood, which can result in all kinds of things, from fatigue all the way up to stroke. Neurotoxic results in things like paralysis, or the opposite, uncontrolled tremors and seizures, as well as, again, strokes, neurological deficits in terms of cognition or sensory or motor function, and cytotoxic, which is damage directly to cells, blowing them up, poisoning them, injuring their cell walls so that their contents spill out and cause other damage, making them not functional, or converting them into unwilling producers of other toxins or more toxins. Dr. Artis explained that the venom enzyme in these studies is already in healthy human beings in low levels generally. It's a bacterial defense enzyme called SPLA2. And here's the diabolical, horrible part from these people that have invented this and used this against us. It's found in both humans and snake venom in the wild. Now, the Italian study and the Arizona study showed that humans release this enzyme, which replicate the synthetic venom structures. Get it? It's not the real snake, which I did go over in segment 1. So if you're jumping into the show right now, go back and watch segment 1 because you'll need that. Let's take a quick look at the Italian study. So let me bring that up for you. That is, for my producers, our first picture here. The Italian study, which you're going to get a little sick of seeing it, but you should see it. Toxin-like peptides. Right? Toxin-like peptides. Found in the blood, the urine, and the feces of COVID-19 patients with a COVID flu illness. And this is in 2021, right? So if they want to ramp up, oh, we got Omicron. Oh, we've got Schmomicron. Let's just release these organoid products into the environment. And who's ever weak, who's ever vulnerable, right? Remember, it takes 3 things to get an infection or sick with something like that, that spreads. You have to have a portal of entry. You have to have a virulent enough organism. I'm not talking virus. I'm talking a lot of different things can cause illness and infections and problems and cancer and things like that. And the third and most important, you need a vulnerable host. A vulnerable host. Jacked up amounts of yeast, jacked up amounts of phospholipase, A2, right? Other immune suppressive environmental situations. These toxin-like peptides found in the blood, urine, and stool of the COVID-19 sick people were not found in, excuse me, the non-sick control group. So just remember that. Okay, let's jump to picture two in this set. This is the Arizona study entitled "Like Venom Coursing Through the Body, Researchers Identify Mechanism Driving COVID-19 Mortality." You should look this study up and you should read it. It's really informative. This explains a lot. If you go back and watch my entire interview with Dr. Artis on Friday about why some people died from the illness and others didn't even get it. Or maybe they didn't get it till a year later or 6 months later. And again, they didn't die from it or they had a really bad bout of flu. They're using, it appears, they're using pre-existing conditions and elements in the body, right, to do the dirty work, to complete the mass genocide, a little bit of genocide, a little bit of maiming, a little bit of, you know, sterility, whatever. Now, picture three, let's bring that up. Picture three is a very interesting study and title that Dr. Artis featured. It's called Synthetic Snake Venom, the Novel Creation of Crotalid Phospholipase A2 Using, pay very close attention, using genetic engineering. They're already modifying all of us. They're modifying the environment and every living thing in it. That's why the FDA's guidance documents for industry on genetic therapy and genetic engineering are so well developed. There are hundreds of them because this has been going on for many years. I want to call your attention here next to picture four, because when Dr. Artis and I were talking, and he made reference to this in the interview, he said, if you think that the government's not been working with these elements, they don't know what they are. They don't know the potential to be used in mass genocide and to poison their own population. Go to your URL search engine and put in conotoxins and DOJ, Department of Justice. And to my surprise, picture four is what came up. And the title here, it's on the Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs. And it says, conotoxins, potential weapons from the sea. And they go on to say in this abstract, right? They're doing it for our benefit. It's bioterrorism defense. Look at the date it was published. I've got a red arrow there. Let's make sure we got that picture up. Picture four, the red arrow. Date published, 2012, 10 years ago. Interesting. And now they're finding tons of these cono snail toxins in the bodies of people that are suffering from COVID-19. They say conotoxins are a pharmacologically and chemically diverse group of toxins found in the venom. A number of species of cone snails are deadly to humans, and they affect numerous neurotransmitter receptors and ion channels in the body. The receptors impacted include nicotinic. So if the nicotinic receptors are protective, this is going to latch onto it and shut that down in terms of protecting you. nicotinic, adrenergic, NMDA, interesting, NMDA receptors. We studied and targeted NMDA receptors in working to develop. I've told you before, I was on the team that discovered, not discovered, but worked to develop Namenda for Alzheimer's disease. And so Namenda is, it's N-methyl-D-aspartate receptors. They're glutamate, they're stimulating neurotransmitters. They're very important in learning and memory, cognition. And so Namenda was theoretically, the way its mechanism worked, is an NMDA receptor agonist. So it all, that's how that ties in. They're saying here that it affects all these neurotransmitter receptors, nicotinic, adrenergic, NMDA receptors, and serotonergic. Your serotonin receptors, you have serotonin receptors in your brain and in your tons in your gut, remember? So if you feel something or you got a gut feeling, why do you think? Your serotonin receptors, serotonin is incredible. It's important for stable thinking. It's sort of a, not a feel good. It's not a psychotropic. It's more of a, you know, a serotonergic receptor agonist would, and, you know, makes you feel like you can, you're in control. You can, so you see, if you damage or you put one of these toxins into the docking into the serotonergic receptors, people are going to have much more anxiety. Not going to be able to really think the right way or clearly. See how all this connects? And then ion channels are altered by these toxins. You have ion channels that work on electrochemical impulses. Now you're in my wheelhouse, okay, launching Namenda and other neuroscience drugs. That was primarily the bulk of my career. So these ion channels for sodium, potassium, calcium, the opening and closing of these channels is how, it's a very simplistic way of saying it, but how your synapses work and how you develop memory, how you keep memory, how you reinforce memory, how you lose memory. Okay. Not to get into that. That's weedy. It's fascinating. I'd love to do a presentation on it sometime. I'm sure I have a slide deck somewhere from my old days. But the most lethal effect of conotoxins to humans is muscle paralysis of the diaphragm, causing respiratory arrest, then shoving these people on ventilators to finish them off and damage their lungs. And then they say here, concerns in the homeland security field exist that certain conotoxins could be weaponized. Let me just put it out in front of you while I'm doing it to you. Could be weaponized and used as an aerosol. How does it get into my body, Dr. Jane? Oh, Dr. Artis is, you know, misinformation. No, I don't think so. The government's telling you we can aerosolize it. Conotoxins are at risk of terrorist use include, and they name the list of them here. Okay, you get that. Just showing you. Your own government's teaching you about it. And then let's go in the last moment or two here. We've got picture 5, which I want to bring up again. Found this is all these different snake venoms and poisonous starfish venoms were found. You know, these are not trace elements in the human body. They were found in the 19 Italian study blood feces and urine, body samples of fluids, but not in the control group that didn't have COVID-19. Are you following? I hope you're following because it really gets fascinating. And then picture 6. Let's see. Let's go. Let me keep up with myself here. So picture 6. Is the 15 conosnail toxins that were also, these specific Kono snail toxins, in addition to, you know, that starfish and those snake venom material, synthetic materials. In the 19 Italian study patients who were sick with COVID, 15 of known Kono toxins were found in those 19 patients, but not in the control group. Just saying, connect your dots. And then in the summary, the Italian study summary, I want to read this to you. Let's bring up picture 7 and go down to the highlighted portion, which says, in terms of their results, toxin-like peptides, almost identical to toxic components of venoms from animals, like conotoxins, phospholipases, it's comma, and phospholipases, phosphodiesterases, different enzyme structures, zinc metal proteinases, take your zinc every day, and bradykinins, we talked about this Friday with Dr. Artis, bradykinins are elements that will slow your heart rate. So if you have a toxin that'll do that, that's why people, you know, go out, right? Were identified in samples from COVID-19 patients, but not in the control group. Not in the control group. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to, in my natural health series that we keep up with a few times a month, what is detox really? What's it about? And what is it not? This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and I'll be right back. Well, the show is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health, LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo food line, Cocoa Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you're doing something good for your body. They start with 100% organic cocoa beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then they blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you have ever felt. Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing inflammation with one simple drink. It's friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. They're offering up to 15% off when you use the promo code RUBY. Go to earthechofoods.com and use the discount code RUBY for your 15% off. Welcome back. And before I begin with this segment on the Natural Health Series, What is Detox? I want to make sure that I get this warning into the general public. It came to my attention over the weekend that sources in the medical community surveillance systems that I use are telling me across the country that when patients and their families that get trapped in hospitals all over the U.S., that they are, and when they are refusing remdesivir, they are being given as a replacement a very dangerous drug named Olumiant, O-L-U-M-I-A-N-T, Olumiant, or as its generic name is baricitinib, without explanation or consent, mind you. This drug was approved by the FDA for rheumatoid arthritis and alopecia, a loss of hair. So what is it doing for COVID patients in an ICU? But beware. It has numerous black box warnings. I've taught you before that FDA's most severe warnings of danger on approved drugs get a black box warning. These black box warnings indicate high rates of heart attacks, blood dyscrasias, blood clots, serious infections, sudden death, cancer, immune malfunction, and strokes. You must specifically refuse this drug in addition to refusing the remdesivir. Okay, well, let's turn our attention now to detox. A couple of things I want you to be, I'm not gonna be covering, you know, or promoting any kind of detox. It's quite the opposite. I want you all to think about What detox is, the word is thrown around, you know, detox, I'm going to get detox. Can I detox from the shots? Can I detox from, you know, whatever poison I was exposed to? Let's go back to the beginning, okay? And let's remember that detox is defined in many ways. And it actually became a colloquial term for, you know, stopping drug and alcohol addiction, right? So it's defined in many ways, but depending on what the target is. And that's the important thing I want you to understand. Drugs and alcohol, detox from toxins and impurities, detox from chemicals like the deadly ingredient in Roundup called glyphosate, excuse me, heavy metal detoxes, detox from traditional vaccines. And now we're talking about it and we're searching for what we can do for the COVID-19 shots. But I want to share something from a recent post that I made in my Telegram channel of over 110,000 members. And so this is what I said as a warning on detox to my members. And I want to share it with all of you because they don't always overlap. Be careful with anyone who promises you that they can clear the C19 shots from the body. As much as you desperately want that, and we want that for you as well, step back, okay? I go on to say, ask for scientific proof, because you're not going to get it, okay? Just going to tell you. And a complete explanation on the specifics, not, oh, it'll clear it out of your liver. No, I want to see the mechanism of action of how it clears it, blah, 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 okay? Of how their program works. Because I can tell you that, as I said, anyone who promises that they can remove all of the shot material from your body is lying to you, de facto, just by saying that. We don't even know what is in the shots. I said, common sense. No one can know what is in their jab on any given day. So unless you know what those metals are and what the highest concentrations are and the amounts of them, you have no idea what will be helpful. Think. No one can know what this is still my post. No one can know what is in their jab on any given day. So unless you know exactly what those metals are, well, we'll just do a metal detail. Okay. What metals do I have levels? Have you assessed me? Have you done my blood work? I mean, if you're up for just doing that, that's fine, but don't delude yourself into thinking that you're going to get cleared of whatever was in those shots because nobody knows what's in the shots. That's my argument. And no one can prove me wrong on that right now. So I say, unless you know, you have no idea what'll be helpful. How can any detox program be effective if you don't even know what you're trying to remove? Common sense. I am cautioning all of you. Demand to see the evidence. Ask them how they know exactly what the toxins they are detoxing you from. There is no way to know what was in your particular shot, nor what the synthetic RNA directed your body to produce. It wasn't just one formula, come on. And there's no way, to my knowledge yet, to remove the mRNA, if indeed the modified synthetic RNA was in that lipid nanoparticle for any of you, there's no way to remove it. Hell, the FDA guidance documents for industry say you don't know where it goes, and you don't know how to stop it, and you don't know how to get it out. So those companies can't tell me. You can't tell me, any supposed expert, that you're going to get that out of the body. Okay, so what's important, again, to wrap this up, what's important for all of you to know is that normally, you know, the body does its own thing, right? But again, bottom line, we don't know what's in these shots. We don't know what's in it. They're lying. They've lied about so many other things. Why would they tell you? You know, and then there's also, what I had Sasha Latipova on to discuss many, many times. The companies negotiated, it's on paper with the EMA and most likely the FDA, that they have a 50% leeway. They don't have to declare 50% of what's in there. So what are you detoxing? Well, I understand when you say, I've had people write back to me and say, well, Dr. Ruby, you know, this is for my my relative, my loved one. I want to do anything I can. But it's, you remind me of, like, myself and other cancer patients when we first got our diagnoses. It's stunning. There's like a burning, like, poker that goes through your chest. Oh my God, I have cancer. And you will do anything you can to get it out. And in that moment of fear and moving quickly, all I'm saying is I observe the same kinds of responses. I got to do something. Be smart, because you're going to spend money. You're going to spend emotional capital. You're going to have false hope. You're going to end up with a lighter wallet and no change, really, ultimately, in what is in your body. So you need to have them, you know, be honest with you. If you want to just detox, you know, remove any metals, you know, to like lighten your body's load, that's great. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying be real with yourself. Make sure you're dealing with a detox, a guide or expert that is honest, that knows what they're doing, and that they're being fair with you about saying, we can remove these metals. We can remove maybe some chemical toxins from your water, your environment at home. But beware, beware of anyone who promises you that they can remove these, the material in these shots. That's the key word. COVID-19 shot, your vaccine, your booster. Because that's a red flag. That's a liar. Any self-proclaimed expert or frontline doctor that tells you they can 100% detox you from the shots, run. It has to be fake, because no one knows what's in it. We only know what we've discovered and what we've been told. And neither of those two areas of information form the totality of what could be in these shots. In fact, if someone said to me, I can detox you from what was in, you know, your COVID-19 shot, Dr. Jane, I would say, what exactly are you detoxing? And then show me the elements of what you want me to eat, bathe in, you know, drink, and how that is linked. First of all, they can't get past the first question. That's why I got so concerned, and I won't name names again, but so concerned when some people came out of the box, people we never heard of before. Oh, here's this expert. Oh, she or he, you know, examined 50 vials or 100 vials or 10 vials. And we know what's in the shots. No, you don't. You only know what's in the shots, the vials in which you looked. Just like when some doctors tell you, well, the shedding stops after 60 days. We got a study over here. The study only looked up to 60 days. If you only look up to 60 days, the only thing you can say in your conclusion is the shedding went up to 60 days at least. But you don't know if it went beyond that because you didn't measure beyond that. There was another study that did 90 days. Same thing. Well, it only goes to 90 days, so you can relax. No, that's not accurate. This is the kind of crap we used to nail the VPs of research in these pharmaceutical companies. Because they'd say, well, you know, it does X, Y, and Z. Well, no, it only did X, Y, and Z up to this point. Or it only did X, Y, and Z for this subpopulation, but not the main population. And we loved, this was medical affairs, we loved catching, you know, because we weren't incentivized if the drug made it or not. We were there to look at the truth in the research and to keep them honest. Because then we agreed to then go out and present that to government payers like Medicaid and Medicare. And we weren't going to put our asses on the line and say that something worked a certain way if it didn't. We would either modify the message down to the truth. Well, it works this way, and that's population, but it didn't work that way for every population that was studied, right? Or we didn't study it in that other population, so we can't say anything about that. So that's how I know who's a fraud and who's not in the detox game. And I don't want you to be duped. I just want you to know what questions to ask. If it's a limited detox, that you're properly informed. Remember informed consent? Informed. Now you're ready to consent. You have to be informed. Truth in medicine. That's what's safe. That's what's real. That's what's going to protect you and your babies and your loved ones. Well, that's it for this edition of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. I want to make a point of saying you don't want to miss my show coming up on this Wednesday, November 2nd. We have Dr. Brian Artis and the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, together on the same screen. The three of us are going to have an incredible discussion. It's going to be the whole show. We're going to talk about the latest findings that Dr. Artis has presented, and maybe he can fill in some of the gaps. I'll let him know of some of the questions that have come up over and over in my social media since his interview on Friday. And tie this all together with Mike Adams' latest updates on the white fibrous clot analysis that is ongoing. There is no final analysis. It is ongoing. And we'll talk to both experts about my latest report from my new embalmer, one of many, it's not just one, that I've been working with for several months, who is now reporting that these white fibrous clots, when they're pulled from some patients, not all of them, but some of them, that all of the materials they're pulling out are making them sick in the immediate moment in their staff. So we'll talk about that, what could be causing it. And don't forget to also watch, when it comes up this month in November, Stu Peters' documentary, Died Suddenly. It's already getting incredible reactions and reviews on the trailers alone. Thanks to my sponsor, Triad Air, producing products that are not only cleansing your air without filters that you have to buy over and over again, but reports overwhelmingly indicating relief and reduction in shedding symptoms from those around us. Thanks for being with me. I wish all of you the best. God bless you and have a great evening. See you Wednesday.